All right, Bill, it's about to get scary.
Yeah, this is one of really the most frightening stories in American history, really. That's the story of Ed Gein. Now, it's a name that some of you may or may not be familiar with. He's kind of the prototype for every horror movie that came out in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. Ed Gein was.
Everyone?
Most of them.
Because I'm reading of
Psycho, Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs I knew, and I guess the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But Psycho, really?
Yeah, there were elements of Ed Gein and Psycho. We found out a couple of weeks ago that our own Orion Samuelson had a little something to do with the reporting of the Ed Gein story, and we thought, who better to talk to about it? The anniversary of his arrest is coming up, I believe, tomorrow, than Orion himself, and Orion's on the line right now. Hi, Orion, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Hope you are, too.
We are.
We are. This is a freaky story, and how long had you been reporting when this all went down?
Well, I had been at WBAY-TV in Green Bay for 1 year and doing both radio and television. And the reason I got involved in this one is the fact that, like small stations everywhere, you're short-staffed most of the time. And the news director asked if I would go along to help in covering the story that was unfolding in the little town of Plainfield, Wisconsin, Illinois.
How far from Green Bay, Orion, is that?
Probably about 60, 70 miles, I would guess.
Okay.
It's a small town out in the country, agricultural and farming, of course. And reports were coming in that the IH dealer and hardware store owner, a lady, had disappeared. And they were searching for her, and they ultimately found her. And so the news director asked if I would go along to sort of help out. And that brought me to, I would guess, probably the most gruesome thing I've ever seen. Although by the time we arrived, the sheriff's deputies had removed the body and had removed some of the artifacts that were found in the house. But there's no question that what happened there helped Alfred Hitchcock do Psycho and create Norman Bates, because there were so many similarities on mother worship and just a very strange mind. So,
I didn't realize that with Ed Gein, that he was a mama's boy like that.
Oh, yeah, he was. And I should say it's Gein.
Ed
that's
Gein.
How it's pronounced. Ed Gein. And yes, he was one of Wisconsin's most notorious residents ever, and he died in a mental hospital, I think back in 1984 when he died. When he went to trial, he at first was declared to be insane, unfit for trial, and then later, after spending time in a mental prison, they deemed he was fit to stand trial, and he did, and he died in 1984. He's generally charged with the murder of two ladies, a bartender, and then the one that caught him was the lady who owned the hardware store, and Bernice Warden was her name, and it happened in 1957, and that was a year ago. That was last 1957 on November 16th. So that's when it happened, and he was arrested almost immediately. But by the time I got to the farmhouse with the camera crew, the sheriff's deputies had removed much of the evidence already. But
I hate to say this because we all kind of know what it is, but you were there. They had removed it, but there were like skulls.
There were waste baskets that were covered with human skin.
Good.
There was a lamp with a lampshade made of human skin. He was charged with robbing 9 graves, but we don't know how many more than that he actually did. And he would watch to get ladies that hadn't been dead very long. And then at night he would go to the cemetery at Plainfield, Wisconsin, would dig them out and bring them home. And the one thing he was trying to do was to connect enough skin, they said, to create a woman's full body. So that would signify his mother and he could get into her body. And we're dealing with a very strange mind. The lady that he killed, Bernice Warden, and it was the first day of deer hunting season, which is a big deal in Wisconsin. But when the sheriff deputies got out to the farm home, he had, I don't know how far you want me to go, but here it is, he had decapitated her. He had strung her up like a deer or a steer and had gutted the body, and it was hanging there. And he was getting ready to take the skin and continue his work. So,
Orion, prior to this, what was the general perception of Ed Gein around town? I know it was a small town. Plainfield is a small community. But was there any reason to suspect him of any kind of foul play prior to all this?
Well, no, not really. He was a loner. He had a brother, but his brother died before he did. And as a matter of fact, subsequent investigation said maybe he had killed his brother as well. But his teachers described him as sort of being an inward person. He would chuckle and laugh as though he were laughing at an inside joke in the classroom and that sort of thing. So no doubt, I mean, definitely he was a loner. And his devotion was to his mother. And when she died, that's when he sealed off the three rooms that she had occupied and never went into them again. And the rest of the house, when I walked in, there was a pot of water on the stove, and deputies later said it was a heart that was in the pot of water, but it was the house was a mess, total mess. Hadn't been cleaned forever, it looked like. So,
Didn't his mother notice any of this stuff? I mean, his strange behavior, the smell of things?
Well, I'm not sure he was... I can't remember, but I don't think he was doing grave digging while she was alive, because he devoted all of his time to her, and he did everything he could to take care of her, and she did everything she could to keep him and not allow him to make friends, not allow him to bring anybody into the house, and so I guess it was a two-way street of she trying to influence him and he just taking care of her. So,
Orion, when reporting this story, now I know that the details of the story are gruesome at best, and
yes,
by today's standards, even if you were to go on the 10 o'clock news and tell them, a news director might say, let's go a little lax on some of the details. How was this story covered in the 1950s?
Well, it was... Well, first of all, the technology was far different because we used Bell and Howell 16-millimeter cameras, some silent, some sound, that we would have to then take back to the station in Green Bay, run it through the huge processor to develop it so that we could show it on television, and then cut it and splice it physically in order to get it on the air. So we couldn't do it nearly as quickly as we do today, of course. But they basically treated it pretty straight. I mean, they talked about the body and the condition it was found, and they talked about the grave robbing, and they talked about what was found inside the house.
Was there sexual assault involved as well or not?
No evidence of that.
No.
He basically robbed graves and
yeah.
And then worked with those bodies. And as far as the owner of the hardware store and also an IH dealership, and that's one of the reasons we knew her, because they were sponsors of our show in Green Bay. But he just took a .22 rifle off the shelf and shot her, and then threw her in the back of his pickup and took him out to the farm where he proceeded to treat her like an animal, really.
It's so weird when you think about it, a guy who loves his mother so much and yet can have the hatred for other people, and the skills at which he used to skin the victims and sew them together. It's like, had he done it in a good way, he could have been like such an amazing surgeon, you know? It's
he
just
could have, yes.
It's so weird to think of it that, and you're like this young reporter, probably completely disgusted and grossed out by all of this, but wasn't it exciting too?
Well, looking back on it, it was, you know, one of the more fascinating stories that I've covered. Doesn't make it any better, and doesn't make it any less heinous, but it was an opportunity, I guess you would say, to cover a story that I could never have dreamed I would ever cover, but I did.
Did you get to see him in person, Orion? Were you ever in the same room as Ed Gein?
I did see him once in a courtroom.
And I've heard people say this about John Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer and other people in that bracket, that there's just this aura around them. And I mean that in a very negative connotation. Did you feel that at all with him?
No, he was a farmer who went wrong in my eyes.
Yeah.
And that was it. I didn't see anything different about him, except he was not talkative and he was not outgoing in any way. You didn't see really any emotion, at least at the time I saw him in the courtroom. So,
Did you see Silence of the Lambs? Because from just the descriptions you're giving and the Silence of the Lambs, it seems like was it Jonathan Demme who did it?
Yeah.
Who, like, it seems almost precisely what had happened in real life happened in the movie.
I saw more of Psycho in the story than I did Silence of the Lambs because of his sealing off the rooms where his mother had spent most of her time, not ever going in and changing them again, and then starting to collect enough bodies to make a body skin that he could get into.
Jeez.
It was, I don't know, it's, you know, that's 60 years ago. And my feelings on the story have kind of dissipated over the years.
Thankfully.
yes, that's right. And his mother died. Her name was Augusta. And his mother died from a stroke in December of 1945. She was 67. And as was revealed in the trial, he was devastated by her death. He lost his only friend and his one true love, so he was absolutely alone in the world, and that's when he decided, I guess, to do something about it.
Orion, hold on for just a second. We have a couple more questions, and there's a text or two and a phone call. We're talking about Ed Gein, I'm sorry.
Ed Gein.
Everybody's pronounced it Gein for years, but as Orion has pointed out, it's not. It's Gein. So
right.
It's the anniversary of his heinous, heinous acts on some of the townspeople there in Plainfield, Wisconsin. We'll take a quick break and then finish this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Orion Samuelson is our guest, WGN's own Orion Samuelson, talking about a story he covered years and years ago as a Cub reporter, no tie into the National League baseball team, just a horrendous story.
How do you know that?
Oh, maybe you were. I'm sorry. Maybe you were. Orion, I know this is a silly question, but it needs to be asked. Were you able to sleep at all while covering the story? Because this is the kind of thing that would keep you up late, late, late into the hours. How did you manage that?
No problem. I've never had problems sleeping in my life.
Wow.
So no problem.
Good for you.
All right.
When I was awake, it was, it was not a pretty picture, but didn't keep me from sleeping.
Why are we fascinated by such crazy stuff? Just because it's so
abnormal.
Against the norm? Is that what it is?
Very much against the norm. And, you know, the path that was followed after he was arrested, which was in 1957. He then went to confinement in mental health facilities. In 1968, he was found guilty but legally insane of the murder of the implement dealer in Plainfield. He was also charged with killing, 1954, Mary Hogan, who owned a tavern in Plainfield, Wisconsin. But you can imagine what that did to the community, particularly at Plainfield. And by the way, his body is buried in the Plainfield Cemetery in an unmarked grave. But you can imagine the creation of anguish and anxiety it created in this little town where nothing like that ever happens.
Is it an unmarked grave because they're afraid of people coming and disturbing the grave? Is that what they're afraid of?
No one could afford it, huh?
Yeah,
who would have paid for it? For a headstone?
Yeah, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Or there could have been a family plot there. That I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, you know, they were from the community, and his father had died in 1940, and his mother, I think, in 45. And so there may have been a family plot. I'm not sure.
Do we know if there's still surviving members of the family in the area, Orion, or is that hard to trace?
Hard to trace. We only know that he had a brother, and subsequently there is a lot of thought that he murdered his brother, but that was the only immediate family that I ever heard discussed.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. what other members there were, if there were. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Norma has called in. Hi, Norma. How are you? We're talking to Orion about Ed Gein, which we've all pronounced his name wrong for how many years
forever.
Now? Norma, you had a story for Orion?
Yes, Wendy. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I do, and we've pronounced it Gein for years and years and years because my grandfather actually had the family farm about 10, 15 miles. I'm not sure if Orion is familiar with the Coloma Hancock area.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that area.
Okay, that's where my my father's parents born had his their family. Anyway, my grandfather used to chop wood, actually, with the gentleman.
With Ed Gein?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a handyman. He would do odd jobs around the neighborhood.
Boy, did he.
Yeah, he was good with his hands.
The oddest jobs.
Yep. Right. That's back in the time when they all pitched in and, you know, if somebody needed one thing done, you know, the whole area helped out and this and that.
Right.
And that was just one of the things I remember Grandpa telling me my uncle and my dad talking about. My dad left the farm in 1948, and, of course, his mother passed away in 1945, I believe.
Yes.
And, and I guess he was a reasonably not as quiet in this and that, you know, before she passed away, but afterwards he just kind of, they could never figure it out. I remember my uncle saying why he didn't want any involvement with anybody anymore after that. It was just kind of like he just kind of dropped off the earth. They could never figure out for years and years why. And then when it come out that they had suspected him and they were investigating, then they kind of put two and two together, and as far as the family plot up there, there is a tombstone. There's actually two or three. There are family graves up there in Plainfield. I've seen them, actually, because, like I said, my family, my uncle and them still live up there.
Norma, we have to run. We have to hit news on time, but thank you for calling us. Kind of a weird memory that a family member cut wood with them, and they do have headstones in that cemetery.
Quickly, Wendy, does Orion remember a book called Small Town Wisconsin written about Ed?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. Sorry, Norma. Thank you very much for calling. Orion, thank you for sharing in this. I know this was a long time ago, and just being a new reporter, a fascinating story. I hate to admit I'm completely fascinated by it, and I'm saddened by it.
Oh, sure.
For him, though, too. I mean, what a sad and tragic turn of events.
Well, I tell you what, there are several books written on this Ed Gein story, so you can look them up if it fascinates you enough. Can I end on a up note?
Please,
spending some time in Arizona, and last night the desert full moon, super moon, was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Just a beautiful night. And the other thing, this is going to be a crazy town in February when the Cubs come back to town, so you better get your tickets early. It's going to be crazy.
You're right.
Talking about it already.
You're right. Orion, thanks so much.
So.
We really appreciate it. Enjoy Arizona.
Thank you.
That's our own Orion Samuelson. We'll take a quick break, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.